seem a little speechless right now. It's just because my heart was so moved by that last song. The Lord is truly here. And just more than anything at Summit Community Church, we just honor the presence of the Lord. Thank God for his presence, right? All right, this morning I want to talk to you about the cross where weakness triumphs. The cross where weakness triumphs. I want to look at two passages of Scripture. Go with me to John chapter 19 and Romans chapter 6. John chapter 19 and Romans chapter 6. Okay, John chapter 19, going to read one verse, verse 30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up the spirit. And he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up the spirit. Romans chapter 6. Just let Romans chapter 6 sit in your lap for a moment and let's pray. Paul wrote, Lord, in his word, that it was in great weakness that Jesus was crucified. And yet that was the place where he wrought the deepest victory. That is the place where he accomplished his deepest work, was on the cross, in a place of incredible weakness, tremendous weakness. And Lord, you put a word on my heart this morning. And I just pray with the ability that you've given me, God, I would communicate it, Lord. And Holy Spirit, you just put your hand upon it. You just put the weight of your glory upon it. And Lord, it would sink deep into our heart and minister into the deep places of our lives, Lord. And I just thank you for all that you're doing in our lives, in our church. God, I thank you, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. In John chapter 19, verse 30, Jesus declared from the cross, "It is finished." And one of the great truths that Jesus is proclaiming from the cross is that everything that needed to be done to liberate his people from the power of sin has been accomplished by the work of the cross. That sin can no longer enslave us. Sin can no longer captivate us. Sin can no longer master us. Sin can no longer control us. That it was on the cross where Jesus broke the enslaving, captivating power of sin once and for all. And it reminds me of something that Paul said in Romans chapter 6. So look with me at Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Paul writes, "Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, destroyed, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." So Paul says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. And the old man, now capture this because it's very important. The old man that Paul is talking about is the sin nature. It's the nature of sin. What Paul is saying is that In his divine way, when Jesus went to the cross, he took the sin nature with him to the cross. How does that work? I don't know. I'm not God. But that's what Paul is saying. In his divine way, Jesus took the sin nature with him to the cross. And when he was crucified, that was the moment that the enslaving power of sin was broken. That was the moment when the captivating power of sin was smitten with a death blow. And that's an incredible truth, one that's really, when you think about it, it's hard to wrap your mind around, that Jesus could actually take the sin nature with him to the cross and smite it with a death blow. And that's what he did. And we know as believers, we still have to deal with sin. We still have to deal with it. Look with me at verse 12, Romans 6, verse 12. It says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. So why would Paul tell believers not to let sin reign in your mortal body? Because if we allow it, sin has the ability to reign in our life. So we still have to deal with sin. But here's what I'm saying. It's because of verse 6 that we have the choice. We can make the choice not to allow sin to control us. We can make the choice not to let sin dominate us. We have the power to make that choice because on the cross, Jesus took the sin nature with him and he smote the captivating power of sin with a death blow. But here's what I want us to understand. When we're talking about captivity, we're not just talking about sin. We're talking about everything that attempts to enslave our lives. Look, in the cross is the power to deal with chronic depression. In the cross is the power to deal with captivating fear. In the cross is the power to deal with captivating mindsets. Everything that threatens to enslave our lives, its power was broken on the cross. Now, here's the question. When it comes to experiencing the miracle of daily transformation and the daily inward working of freedom, how does the power of the cross work in our lives? So when it comes to Jesus working out this victory in our lives, how does the power of the cross work within our lives? Beloved, here's what we have to understand. Here's what I really want us to understand. The cross and the Holy Spirit work together. You cannot separate them. The cross and the Holy Spirit work together. You cannot separate them. So we ask the question, well, then how does that work? How does the cross and the Holy Spirit work together? And it comes down to this one word, faith. Now, when I say the cross and the Holy Spirit works together, let me explain what I'm talking about. It's when the Holy Spirit looks into my heart and he sees that my absolute trust is in this one truth alone, that it was on the cross where Jesus destroyed the power of everything that wants to enslave my life. When he looks into my heart and he sees that faith, that's the faith that he works in to daily transform me. That's the faith that he works in to work out Christ's victory in my life. Now, I want you to capture that. Every day of my life, the Holy Spirit is looking in my heart and he wants to see something. There's something in your heart I want to see. What I want to see is this, that your absolute trust, your absolute focus is in one place. And that is on the cross, I destroyed everything that wants to enslave your life. And when I see that faith in your life, that faith is the glove that I slip my hand into and I work transformation in your life. The cross and the Holy Spirit work together. The cross is simply this. It's where my complete trust is in. On the cross, he destroyed everything that wants to enslave my life. And the Holy Spirit's part is this. I see that faith and I'm going to work in that faith to work his victory in your life. Amen. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Understand, the Holy Spirit uses so many things to transform us. So many things he works transformation in our lives. He uses trials. How many of you can say amen to that? He uses trials. He uses other people. He uses the word. He uses prayer. He uses worship. He uses circumstances in our life. But yet there's only one thing that releases his power in all this, and that is where your faith is placed. You know, my favorite illustration I like to use is the illustration of a car. You know, it takes all kinds of parts to make a car run. You have to have the alternator. You have to have spark plugs. You have to have the pistons. You have to have the battery. You have to have the carburetor. You have to have the transmission. But yet there's only one thing that causes all these other things to go into motion. There's only one thing. What is it? It's the key. You have to put that one little key in the ignition and turn that key. And when you turn that key, it causes all these other things to work together and begin to move the car. And again, my point is the Holy Spirit uses so many things to work transformation in our life. He uses circumstances, problems, people, his word. You know, he uses so many things, but there's only one thing that releases the power and all these things to change us. And that is our faith. When my faith is simply fixed fully in his victory on the cross over everything that wants to enslave my life, that is the faith that the Holy Spirit works through to change me, to transform me. Beloved, understand, the Holy Spirit will not work in anything else other than that faith. Why is that true? Two reasons why that's true. Number one, the cross is God's only solution to the power of sin. God has no other remedy. He has no other solution. His only solution for the captivating power of sin is the cross. Therefore, our complete faith must be in his victory on the cross. And secondly, Jesus paid too high a price on the cross for our freedom for the Holy Spirit to acknowledge anything else. If we are trusting in anything else for power over sin, the Holy Spirit will step back and he will say, I will not regard that. I will not work in that. I will not work through that. The Savior paid too high a price on the cross for your freedom for me to acknowledge anything else you're trusting in. I will not regard it. Your faith is to be anchored in one place. For me to work. And that is on that cross. It's about his victory, not my strength. Freedom over sin has nothing to do with my strength. It has everything to do with the victory he won on the cross. And if I'm going to work in your life in fullness, that is where your absolute faith has to be. Amen. Amen. Okay, that was only my introduction. Only my introduction. Yay. Now I want to share with you what's really on my heart. I want you to go with me to 2 Kings chapter 13. 2 Kings chapter 13. Second Kings chapter 13. Look with me at verse 14. Verse 14 says, Elisha had become sick with the illness of which he would die. Then Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, Oh, my father, my father. The chariots of Israel and the horsemen. And Elisha said to him, take a bow and some arrows. So he took himself a bow and some arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, put your hand on the bow. So he put his hand on it, and Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. And he said, open the east window. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them. Then he said, take the arrow. So he took them and he said to the king of Israel, strike to the ground. So he struck three times and stopped. And the man of God was angry with him and he said, you should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Syria till you have destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only three times. So in our text, this wicked king Joash, and we know he's a wicked king because the Bible tells us that he walked in the sins of Jeroboam and encouraged his people in idolatry. So we know he's a wicked king. And this wicked king comes to Joash. And the Bible tells us that this time Elisha is on his deathbed. His days are very few. And let me just add, when you look at the ministry of Elisha, Elisha absolutely represents the grace of God. You see, God has been very gracious to his people through this man, Elisha. And so, with Elisha coming to the close of his life, Joash is taking a look at the tremendous power of his enemies. And he's taking a look at his tremendous powerlessness of his own army. And Joash is beginning to realize, listen, if we have any hope at all from living in freedom over this powerful enemy, our only hope is in Elisha. And so the Bible tells us that he comes to Elisha in absolute brokenness. And there's just something in his heart that says, listen, there is nowhere else to look. I can't look to my armies. I can't look to my senators. I can't look to my kingdom. There is absolutely no other place to look. All of our hope is in Elisha. And I want us to realize that Joash is in a very broken place right now. Now, beloved, here's my first point that I want to make. I know we're talking about a pagan king here, but there's a truth we need to see, which is this. Often the first thing God must do to mature us and transform us is to humble us by bringing us to a place of utter helplessness. Beloved, in fact, there are times that even as mature Christians, there will be times that God will see the need to allow something in our life that's going to bring us into a place of absolute brokenness, a place of absolute weakness, a place of absolute vulnerability. It's a place where we are so broken and so weak that there is an absolute despair in our life over ourselves and over our strength and over our abilities. And the only thing that we can do is look to the cross. There are going to be, even as mature Christians, there's going to be times God's going to allow something in your life, and it's going to bring you to such a place of brokenness, such a place of weakness, such a place of vulnerability, and just an understanding that there is nowhere else I can look but to the cross. Amen. Beloved, in my 24 years of walking with the Lord, and I know there's some of you here, you got a lot more number of years on me. But in my 24 years of walking with the Lord, I have learned something. You can live to be 100 years old, but there will be seasons in your life where that old spirit of self-reliance will try to operate in your life again. There will be seasons, you can live to be 100 years old, and there will just be times in our life where we're not even aware that we are slipping back into our strength and trusting in our strength and beginning to walk in our strength and beginning to work in our strength. Beloved, releasing self-reliance doesn't come natural, even as Christians. Even as Christians, releasing self-reliance doesn't come easy. So sometimes God has to press us into it. There will be times, you know, he will just see the need. You know what? You're operating in your old spirit of self-reliance again. You're moving again in your own strength. And you don't want to give it up because sometimes it's just a very comfortable place when you feel like everything is working. So I got to press you into a place of weakness. I got a, it's a very broken place. It's a place of weakness. It's a place of contrition. It's a place of vulnerability. But it will be the place where you will turn your eyes to the cross again. Beloved, I'm telling you something. Walking in self-strength and trusting in self-strength, even as Christians, it's something that is so ingrained in this nature, we don't even realize half the time when we're doing it. But God knows when we're doing it. And he's saying, you know, if I really want to transform your life, if I really want to work that victory Jesus won on the cross, then I've got to press you into a place where your eyes are back on the cross. Beloved, my point is, there will be times in our lives where God will see the need to one more time press us into a place of tremendous weakness so that our dependence is not on ourselves, but fully in God. And ultimately, here's what I'm saying. If we want to see the fullness of God in our lives, there will be times God must bring us to the place where we are so dependent on Him, we are looking at absolutely nothing but what He accomplished on the cross. Beloved, is there a struggle going on in your life right now where you are in such a place of weakness and there's just a cry coming out of your heart that simply says, oh God, if I'm going to get victory in this, only you can do it. You know, we say that from our head, but God knows how to bring us to that place where we're saying it out of our heart. And I just want to ask you, is there a struggle going on in your life where you just know that you know that you know I have absolutely no strength in me to walk in victory over this? Only God can break this stronghold. Only God can deliver me from this area of bondage. Only God can do this. There is absolutely nowhere else for me to look. Beloved, I want to tell you something. You know, that can be a very painful place when you find yourself utterly helpless in an area where you need victory. It can be a very painful place when you find yourself broken and weak and vulnerable in an area in your life where you know only God can bring the victory, but I'm telling you, that is God's place. Because it's in our weakest places where the cross does its most powerful work. Amen. God allows these for a reason. To one more time bring us to that broken place where all our dependence is in the victory of the cross. Now here's a thought that's in my heart. Even a wicked king was able to come to Elisha, a symbol of grace, and find partial victory. Even a wicked king was able to come in complete brokenness and dependence and find partial triumph over his enemies. In his absolute helplessness, if a wicked king could get a partial victory from God, what can a saint receive? If we will accept God's humbling in our lives, if we will accept those places where God sees the need to one more time press us into a place of incredible weakness, that place where we truly realize again, it's not about my strength, but it's about His victory. What unlimited victory awaits our lives? Yes, these are broken places. These are contrite places. These are places of incredible weakness. These are places of incredible vulnerability. But beloved, understand, it's at the cross where weakness triumphs. It's at the cross where weakness produces our deepest victories. Amen. Capture that. It's at the cross where our weakness produces our deepest victories. Amen. Now we're in chapter 13. Look with me at verse 15. And Elisha said to him, take a bow and some arrows. So he took himself a bow and some arrows. And here's what I want us to understand. When God has pressed us into that place of absolute weakness and brokenness and vulnerability, And we're just in that place where we know not here, but in here. I have no other place to look. The very first thing God is going to say is this. Now pick up a bow and an arrow. In other words, here's the first thing he's going to say. Now that you are in that place, with your eyes fully fixed on my victory on the cross, let's make a declaration of war. Look at that issue that's trying to enslave you. Look at that issue that's trying to captivate you. And in that broken place where your faith is in one place, start telling that issue, I'm not going to coexist with you anymore. I'm not going to live with you anymore. I'm not going to sit down at a table with you anymore and make an agreement with you or make a covenant with you. No, no, Jesus died on that cross that I could have complete victory over you. The days of coexistence are over. It's amazing. It's in the weakest place of vulnerability where God says, now look it in the face and make a declaration of war. We're not coexisting anymore. Beloved, do you know when you have reached a point of settling for coexistence? When we begin saying things like, I have tried so hard and I've tried so hard, yet I guess I'll never be free. We're in a place of coexistence. When we look at that area of captivity in our life, we say things like, I've tried and I've failed, I've tried and I've failed, I've tried and I've failed, and I guess I'll never get victory over this. We're settling for coexistence. But the Lord says, now that you're back in the humble place, you're back in the broken place, you're back in a place of weakness and vulnerability, and you know not here but in here, you have no other place to look but to the cross. Now I want you to look that issue in the eye and say, Jesus died for me to have complete victory. Our days of coexistence are over. Look with me at verse 16. Then he said to the king of Israel, put your hand on the bow. So he put his hand on it, and Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. Listen, I want you to try to capture that in your mind, because that is a very tender scene. This young king, with fearful, trembling hands, he takes those fearful, trembling hands and he puts them on the bow. And then Elisha takes those old, feeble hands, hands that have went through many battles with God. He takes those old, feeble hands, but hands that are filled with the strength of God. And he places them over the king's trembling hands. And when Elisha places his ancient hands, hands that represent the Ancient of Days, when he places his ancient hands over that young king's hands, this is what Elisha is saying to him. Your victory was never in your strength. Your victory has nothing to do with your strength. Your victory is in the grace of God. Your victory is in the crucified hand. Your victory is found in one place, nothing in you, the grace of God. That's where your victory is. And beloved, I don't know what you're dealing with today in your own life, but God is graciously reminding us today, your victory never was about your strength. It's about the strength of grace that flows down from the cross into every area of need in your life. Your victory has nothing to do with your strength. Has to do with grace that flows down to the cross and to every area of need in your life. That's what Elisha is saying. Look with me at verse 17. And he said, open the east window. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have completely destroyed them. I want to emphasize those words, until you have destroyed them. Beloved, it is the promise of complete victory. And today God gives us the same promise. God is saying, when your trust is not in your strength, but completely in the victory Jesus won on the cross, you will know victory in your life. Some breakthroughs may come immediately. Other breakthroughs may require a process, a deep work of God in your life, but nothing will stop the breakthrough you need. Your breakthrough is being worked out in your life. Your change is being worked out in your life. Your miracle is being worked out in your life. Beloved, some breakthroughs take a journey because the issue is so deep. And if God is really going to heal us of those issues, He has to deal with us in great tenderness. He has to lead us in great tenderness. So these very deep issues, sometimes it is a very tender process by the hand of God. But beloved, when all of our hope is focused in one place, that grace that flows from the cross, greater than every need in my life, that is where the healing waters flow. Whether it's overnight victory or a process that's being worked out in our life because it's just an issue that runs so deep, when my faith and my hope is focused in one place, that healing grace that comes down from the cross into every area need in my life, when my hope is there, I'm telling you, that is where the healing waters of the Holy Ghost stir in our lives. Amen. Look with me at verse 18 and 19. Then he said, take the arrows. So he took them, and he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. So he struck three times and stopped. And the man of God was angry with him, and he said, you have should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Syria till you have destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only three times. The Bible says here, Elisha told the king to strike the ground three times, but when you read it in the original Hebrew, that word strike actually means to shoot. In the original Hebrew, he's not telling the king to pick up the arrows and strike the ground. He's actually telling the king, I want you to shoot the arrows out to the window toward the enemy. So he picks up the arrows, and the king begins to shoot the arrows out the window, but as we just read, he stopped short of shooting all the arrows. You see, when you read the story, Elisha actually expects him to shoot all the arrows out the window. And that would be a declaration to the enemy. It's the declaration simply being, no matter how many times you come against me, I will always be victorious. And shooting all the arrows out the window, that would be the declaration Joash is making. No matter how many times you come against me, I will always be victorious. But Joab stopped short of shooting all the arrows. Joab quit before shooting all the arrows. And beloved, the question God is asking us today is this. Have you gotten so discouraged you quit believing that your victory is in the cross? Now I want you to capture that. That's the question that the Lord is asking us today. Have you gotten so discouraged you quit believing your victory is in the cross? Is there an issue in your life where you have tried and failed so many times that you no longer believe your victory is in the cross? Is there an area in your life where you've repeatedly tried and failed and you are really struggling to believe there is victory in the cross? God is calling us to pick up our arrows again, strike them in the ground, because every time you strike that arrow, you are saying the cross works, the cross works, the cross works. Beloved, I believe shooting all the arrows out the window, what that represents in the Christian's life is simply this. I started my journey believing the cross works, and I finished my journey believing the cross works. That's what shooting all the arrows represents. I started my journey believing in the power of the cross. I'm ending my journey believing in the power of the cross. No matter what rises up in my life from beginning to end, I will never forsake the truth that the cross works. When the issues of my heart rise up, I lift my hands. The cross works. When that same old temptation raises its head again, I lift my hands and I say the cross works. Every time I'm tempted to say, will this ever change? This will not ever change. It's not going to change. I lift my hands and say the cross works. When that same old enemy raises its head, when that same old lust raises its head again, I lift my hands and I say, the cross works. Beloved, as long as we believe the cross is working, the cross is at work in our lives, working victoriously. Amen. As long as my faith is not in my strength, but on the cross, he won every victory over everything that wants to enslave my life. As long as my full dependence is there, his victory is being worked out in my life. Sometimes it's immediate. Sometimes it's a process because the issues run through so deep. And it just takes a tender journey with God. But as long as I just keep it in my heart, the cross works. The cross is working. Amen. This don't seem like it'll ever change. I only got one thing to say to that. The cross works. Here's those issues rising up again in my life. But I only got one thing to say to that. The cross works. I tried again, and I failed again. But I only got one thing to say to that. The cross works. As long as I'm believing in the power of the cross, that he won every victory I need on that cross, I'm telling you, the cross is working in your life. But the question the Lord is asking us today, did you stop short of shooting all your arrows? Are you just in a place where, is there just a place of captivity in your life where you just tried and failed so many times and now you're just beginning to doubt, yep, I just don't believe anymore. My victory is in the cross. That's the question he's getting at this morning. The Lord is talking to discouraged people and he's telling you, in this place of brokenness, this place of weakness, and this place of vulnerability, pick up your arrows again because the cross works. Beloved, I don't know what you're dealing with in your life today, but I do know this. When our complete dependence is in what Christ has won on the cross, God is working out his victory in our life. Some breakthroughs are immediate. Some happen through a process because issues are very deep. Yet when my trust is in the victory on the cross, the breakthroughs are being worked out in my life. The changes are being worked out in my life. The miracles are being worked out in my life because the cross works. Amen. Stand with me this morning. I want to give an altar call this morning. And the altar call is simply this. Pastor Tim, I'm facing something in my life. And I am so at the end of my strength. Pastor Tim, I'm facing something in my life and I am so at the place where all my strength is gone. All my strength has been exhausted. I am at the end. But today I've heard something in my heart. Something in this place of brokenness, in this place of weakness. I've heard God tell me to look at my issue and begin to declare Christ's victory over that issue. In my weakness, I know I only have one place to look, and that's the cross. And in this very weak place, this very vulnerable place, one more time, I've heard the Lord tell me to look at that place of captivity in your life and declare His victory. It's not about my strength. It's about the victory He's already won. Beloved, if that's you, while the people play on the instruments, would you just come and join me down here in the altar, and we'll pray together. Amen. Come, don't be shy.